May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim, sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show, all polluted is my breast. Yet I weary am, I know, and the weary long for rest. Hymn 356. Our reading from God's holy word is the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we need thee now to solemnise our minds and our hearts as we gather to worship thee. Oh, we pray for the blessed influence of thy Holy Spirit in each part of our worship, and that we may sweetly prove that it is no vain thing to serve the living God. O Lord, do come and rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy sweet presence. O Lord, we come before thee exactly as we are. We've nothing to bring in and of ourselves. One said, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. But oh, we would come pleading the precious name and the precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus, seeking for that sweet access at the throne of thy grace. Oh, we pray for that heavenly boldness the apostle was unable to write of. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And truly, Lord, it is a time of need now, so we gather in thy courts. We pray thou wilt come and suit thyself to every sinner's case. Lord, thou knowest those that are burdened and weighed down by sin. We pray that thou wilt come and remove all that sin and guilt from their hearts and set them at liberty. And Lord, may burdened sinners lose their load and downcast souls rejoice. And may each sin-sick soul have the sweet application of thy precious blood in their poor hearts, to remove all the stain of sin and guilt of it, and thy people set at liberty. For thou hast said, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. As the dear poet said, the way to liberty is found, the Son shall make you free. And O Lord, as we are favoured with the sunshine in the earth, oh, we pray thou wilt shine into our hearts and warm us with heavenly heat, who take away all the coldness and deadness and lifelessness there is in us, Lord, that our souls might live, that we may praise thy holy name. Lord, do come and lift up any that are cast down. Raise their souls above the ground. Those that are buffeted by Satan, Lord, oh, do cast the adversary out. Appear for thy dear children. And that their souls may be freed from all his onslaughts, and they be brought into a wealthy place. Do remember, Lord, all those in sorrow and distress. We pray thou would appear for them, and that thou would turn their sorrows into joy, as thou didst for thy dear disciples. And, O Lord, do remember those that may have some special need at this time. And thou wilt come and supply that need. May they have that faith given to be able to say with the dear hymn writer, my every need he richly will supply. Nor will his mercy ever let me die. Oh, do increase our little faith, we pray. Oh, do take away, dear Lord, all the unbelief. And oh, may it please thee to grant to us more and more grace. May thy grace abound in us. Lord, we know so much of the aboundings of sin, but oh, may grace abound over it all. And oh, that thou wouldst come to any that are in a trying, difficult path and whisper those precious words, as thou didst to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. No, Lord, do help us to endure to the end, to hold on our way. Do make us steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God. Ever deliver us from being driven about by every wind of doctrine. But oh, that we may be found with our hearts and feet and souls resting upon a precious Jesus, the rock of our salvation, who come and take away the fears of the fearful, and oh, may all their fears be removed, and those who have got impossibilities, Lord, may faith be given to believe that there is nothing impossible with thee, or too hard for thee. Who bless the dear children, remember them, Lord, with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. May thy precious word taught them in the Sabbath school be made life and power to them, and that they may follow on to know the Lord, to love him and adore him. O Lord, do keep them from this wicked and perverse world, and keep us each, Lord, in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our steps, in our lives, in our conversation. May we be amongst those who are kept by the power of God. For, Lord, we cannot keep ourselves. But oh, that thou wouldst keep us, Lord, near thy dear feet. Keep us humble and tender. Help us to live to thee and to thy honour and to thy glory. And oh, Lord, do bless the dear parents and give them all needed wisdom in the bringing up of their offspring. and may it please thee to hear and answer their prayers and cries. Be with those that carry offspring, Lord. We pray especially for Hannah at this time. Thou grant that needed strength for each day and each hour. And Lord, who grant that gracious help and deliverance at the appointed time. And may the dear babe be born with all its faculties and be raised up to be a child of God, if it be thy holy will. Do help her and her dear husband and the family. Bless them together. May they see thy goodness passing before them in the way. Know thy continual care. O Lord, thou hast said, for he careth for you. Remember, dear Lord, the deacons here and help them and bless them. Bless the hymns they give out. And, O Lord, do give all needed wisdom and grace continually. Do add to the church precious souls yet, if it would please thee. May there be others constrained in thy time and in thy appointed way. May all the hindrances be removed. There may be those enabled to say, hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must go with you. Do remember those in trouble and all that need thee, Lord. Do make bare thine arm and work. Awaken many in this village, Lord, and in this area, and throughout this land, if it would please thee. May there be many born again, that there may be a blessed influx, Lord, into thy courts. May the Bibles that have been taken from outside the chapel, Lord, be used by thee to bring many to fear thy holy name and truly repent of their sin and turn to thee. Lord, we would thank thee. There is mercy to be found in Jesus. Mercy for sinners. Do remember Zion, Lord, and our own flock particularly. Oh, that there may be a revival of thy blessed work. And may it be so, Lord, in this nation. We would thank thee that thou hast helped us through all this lockdown season, and do help us and help thy dear people in having to wear the mask today. Oh, do take away, Lord, all the fears and the many things that trouble thy children. And do grant healing mercies to those in affliction, we beseech thee. And bless our own dear one, and may she be restored and strengthened. We pray for thee to work, Lord. And oh, do work in our leaders and rulers in this guilty land. Turn their hearts, Lord, from this world and the things of it, and from all their own ambitions and all what they think they should do, to do what thou would have them to do. And Lord, do bring them to seek thy face in it all. Do pour out thy spirit, Lord, upon our royal family too. May they set a right and gracious example and be brought to fear thy holy name, and if they have not already been brought there. Lord, do remember thy people where they be. We beg of thee now to help us as we turn to thy holy word. And oh, do open it up to our understanding. And oh, may that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. Be with us around thy table. And oh, may we see even this evening, no man save Jesus only. And help us, Lord, to praise and bless thy holy name for all thy goodness and mercy to us. We would seek for a heart to crown thee, Lord of all, and to praise thee for all thy great mercies, unworthy as we are. Now, dear Lord, we fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. Do come and help us, Lord, and may we sweetly prove what thou hast said. Without thee, we can do nothing. Grant the dear friends a true spirit of hearing, and may the word be life and power to them and to our soul. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. Forgive what we may have uttered amiss in our many, many sins. So we ask it in that all-prevailing name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 273. 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Paul's Epistle of the Hebrews, chapter 12, and the third verse. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The dear apostle here had in the previous chapter wonderfully declared of all those that had died in faith, those that had all gone before and had gained the victory. But then he reminds them of that blessed cloud of witnesses and gives that gracious exhortation, and it's so often with me what he said, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Oh, may that be a word in season to us each tonight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And then this gracious exhortation. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But how? Looking unto Jesus. Really, he was setting before them the great need of singleness of eye, looking wholly to a precious Jesus as they ran the race. And may it be a word in season to us each tonight in all this terrible affliction upon the land and upon the nation here. Many are looking everywhere else, aren't they? Sadly and solemnly our leaders are too. But oh, to be among those who are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then he says, for consider him. It's really those three words seem to so rest upon me regarding the service this evening and thinking too of the Lord's Supper. For consider him. Putting it simply, it means good thinking. You know, we have many bad thoughts, don't we? Many thoughts that are considering ourselves, considering our situation, considering our troubles, considering our afflictions. When we should be considering him. For consider him. It's a blessed thing when the Holy Spirit enables us to consider him, isn't it? And I trust, and I say this lovingly tonight, it's not just while we're in the house of God. May that be so, that we're ever considering him, but while we're in the house of God, but you think in your life, pathway you're walking in now, has he brought you in this past week and brought me to consider him. You know, really, the pathway to heaven is not easy for the child of God. We are told so many times throughout the Word of God, it is through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. And you may come into places where you look at everything you're in and it looks an impossibility how any blessing could come out of it, or any good come out of it for your soul. But what a mercy it is if the Lord brings us in it to consider him. For consider him. We think of it personally. You know, there have been a few times, I hope I can say without any exhortation or lifting up of the flesh, where we've been brought into times of affliction. And you wonder where the scene's going to end in it. And then the blessed Holy Spirit leads us to view a little of the afflictions he endured. We are told, aren't we, by the Holy Spirit, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. And what will make that affliction very sweet to you? The bitter taken out of it. And it be a blessed season. It's when you're enabled to consider him. And when we have a little glimpse of the afflictions he endured for our souls, because of our sin, he bore all incarnate. The hymn writer said, God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. Oh, to consider him in all his afflictions. It's a beautiful word in Isaiah, isn't it? I tried to preach from it at home just recently. In all their afflictions, not some of them. You think of the afflictions you may be in. I don't mean just of body. That is the lot we know of many of God's dear children. They walk the path of affliction of body. But then there are those that walk the path of affliction in their minds. Many dear old saints in days past, particularly when there wasn't the medication there is today, ended up in mental hospitals, in dire straits of affliction. But you know, some of those dear souls, while they were in there, had some beautiful views of their dear Redeemer. The Lord, you see, permits this affliction to come, whatever, I'll name a few other things in a moment, but to come, to bring the sinner right down. And the only way they can look is to the dear Redeemer. And as he reveals a little what he endured for them, it'll make that affliction very precious and sweet to you. Oh, it will. He takes, you see, the bitterness out of it by making himself very precious and sweet to the sinner as their Saviour, their Redeemer. But then there are the afflictions of circumstances, in providence sometimes. You think of Jacob, the things that he went through of affliction in his family, the trials he went through with his children. And there are those that have to walk that bitter affliction. It may be a child in bitter affliction. I was thinking of it yesterday, and one that we took through the waters, you know, and she has a great cross of affliction in her, one of her children. And it's with her night and day, you see. It's something that he will live with till he passes from this time state. And it's a cross to carry. But you know, the Lord, as with her, he so has sanctified it and brought her to consider him a dear Redeemer in all his afflictions. You think of what he endured in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, some of the children of God, they walk a path of ever so much darkness in their souls. There's those afflictions within them. And you think how dark a place it was for the dear Redeemer. And if you have a little glimpse of the dear Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what will be the effect of it? Well, if I know anything of it in any way, it's this. It'll cause that darkness which you may be in to just fade away when you consider the darkness he was in when his father hid his face. And on the cross at Calvary when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, often we come into darkness and feel forsaken by the Lord, don't we, because of our sin. But let's ever remember the dear Redeemer knew no sin. There was no spot or blemish in him. He was pure throughout. You may say, well, why did the Father hide his face? Because then he bore all the sins of his dear bride and all the wrath of God because of sin. And if you have a little glimpse, poor soul, just a glimpse of it, will melt the hardest part of your poor heart and mine. For consider him. The things you may have to walk in yet in the pathway of pain, of anguish. Oh, consider him. I remember, I may have spoken of it before, but I remember a dear lady I used to have at Ashwell. She was a real good hearer of the word. She had to go into Lister Hospital in Stevenage and undergo a serious operation. And I went to see her just after she'd come back into the ward. And you know, she was in such a sweet place. She said, you know, when I came out of the anaesthetic, she said, I'd had to suffer much prior to it, but she said, I came out of the anaesthetic from the operation, and she said, immediately set before her was the dear Lord Jesus suffering in all his agonies. She said, you know, it just melted my heart. She said, the nurse came and said to me, would you like a little cup of water? And she said, oh, I would appreciate it. And she said, immediately the Holy Spirit seemed to show her, take her to Calvary when, she said, they didn't give the dear Redeemer a cup of cold water, they gave him vinegar to drink. And oh, she said, how thankful I was for what he endured for me. You know, it's a wonderful thing when the Lord gives the child of God that faith to view and faith to consider him. But then there may be those of you, because the word of affliction in the word of God meant anything that caused pain and anguish, like the children of Israel going through the wilderness. It was a path of affliction. There were many things involved in it, not just bodily, not just in their soul, but in the pathway that caused them much pain and anguish. For consider him. Oh, may that be, and when the text dropped in, the occupation of our poor souls, considering him. I remember lying in the bed in our old house in Steeple Morden, with a temperature over 104 for nearly 2 weeks, and the doctors did all they could to get this raging temperature down. I just felt at the ends of the earth. And you may come to places like that, you know. But you know, the Lord in a moment drew near in the depths of it. And he made it very sweet to me. There was a whole verse of the hymn dropped into my heart to direct me to consider him. And it was this question kept rising up in me. I didn't know where the verse was at the time. Is this, dear Lord, the thorny road which leads us to the Mount of God? Are these the toils thy people know while in this wilderness below? And you know, that verse kept flowing in and out of my poor heart and mind. And I questioned whether I knew anything that was real at all. And all this question, is this, dear Lord, the thorny road? And I reached for the hymn book and I found the verse in that next to last verse of hymn 289. And I read it through. And then I read the following verse. And then I knew why I was laying there. And it was this. 'Tis even so. Thy faithful love does all thy children's graces prove. And you see, there are times when you come into this to prove your blessings are real, the Lord with you in it. Does all thy children's graces prove? You know, if you've got a grain of living grace, poor soul, in your poor heart, it's got to be proved. And you'll prove it in these times of adversity and affliction. And then he goes further. 'Tis thus our pride and self must fall. And you know, that created in me in a moment self-examination. Lord, there's so much in me that needs to be removed. You know, the flesh doesn't like it. It doesn't like things taken away from us, does it? It holds on to this and holds on to that. But you know, the dear Redeemer so came to me in that bedroom, I've never forgot it. And then that last line, that Jesus may be all in all. And you know, the preciousness of the Saviour to me. I've never forgot it, you know. I could see in it all, his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? You see, our text speaks of this. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And how shall you and I endure? Only through him. There's no other way. He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. I think I quoted this morning. But, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And then you think of the dear Redeemer, how he was reviled, how he was persecuted. That's why we read in John 15 this evening. He says this to the dear disciples, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And you think how they hated the dear Redeemer. And then what does he say? Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Oh, how he reminds them of the path they got to tread. And another occasion he said to them this, didn't he? Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He didn't tell them when he sent them forth the path was going to be easy, did he? Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he didn't leave it there. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. For consider him at Calvary. Upon the cross, for consider him, all that he endured there. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There may be those of you tonight saying, what you may be in now, I don't know. I leave it with you and with the Lord. But things you may be in your pathway, and due to this lockdown and all the things that are going on, you may be saying, oh, but I'm weary. I'm fainting in my mind. And that's how we are, aren't we? We're so often weary, we're so often fainting in our minds. The reason being because we're not considering him. We look at the trouble, we look at the affliction, we look at the persecution, we look at the roughness of the journey, and what happens? We're soon weary and we're soon fainting, aren't we? Oh, we are. Why? Because we're not considering him. Oh, what a lesson. If I nothing this evening, I preach it to myself. For consider him. There's the answer, child of God. You young ones in your pathway, what you may be in now, it may be strange, it may be mysterious. You say, Lord, have I got anything that's real at all? Am I in the right way? Am I truly taught of thee? And you look at the lot and you think, well, others are going along so smoothly. And you're fainting in your mind. Now you think of what's in our text. The apostle, because he could write it from experience. You think of the places the Lord brought him when he was shipwrecked, when he was in prison. I love that account of the dear man in the jail in Philippi. Him and Silas there. You look how they were taken there. They were beaten. They were put with their feet in the stocks. What would man do naturally? Rebel, kick against it. Faint because of it. Weary because of it all. But not so with the apostle. What did he do? They prayed and they sung praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They were considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Their lot, though it was hard, though it was difficult, though it was trying, though it tested their faith, was nothing compared with what their dear Redeemer endured. And in love to him they prayed and they sung praises unto God, they did. Oh yes. Well, let's bring it home, and I'll just be brief because we got the ordinance to consider and to administer. It's a sweet place sometimes around the Lord's table when the Lord gives us a little consideration of him. It often, and I've often said in receiving those into the church, it can be a very dark place. And there may be those of you may think that's strange. But you think of when the dear Redeemer administered it to those dear disciples and gave them the commandment, this do in remembrance of me. He was in a very dark place prior to going to Calvary. He knew what was before him. And often with the child of God, they're in a dark place. But how sweet it is when they are able to consider him and have a glimpse of those pierced hands and pierced side. I love those words in Luke's Gospel when he led the dear disciples out. They were on their way to Emmaus. And you know how he made himself known to them. And open, and their eyes were opened, so they knew him. But we find how sweetly he spoke there. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He knew what they were feeling, what they were like at this time. And then he shows them this. And oh, may we be favoured with a glimpse of it even this night. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. It was reality, a risen Saviour. But he shows them those pierced hands and pierced side and pierced feet. The proof of his agonies. This was he. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Reveals himself as their risen Saviour to them. But he reminds them in showing them those pierced hands and pierced side and feet the great cost of their salvation, his own heart's blood. For consider him. Oh, may we be given grace and faith to consider him as we not only hear this evening, but as we venture on in the journey. I'll tell you something, child of God, it's the best occupation that the real child of God can ever have in this earth, considering him. In conclusion, I must leave it. My mind goes to the spouse in the Song of Solomon. You can read it at your leisure. Chapter 5. Where she describes her dear Redeemer from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And what conclusion did she come to? A blessed one. And in the closing verse she says this, His mouth is most sweet. She knew the kisses of his mouth, kissing all her sin away. She knew his mouth to be most sweet because he had spoken so many precious words to her. And then she says this, Yea, he is. There was no doubt about it. Altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. She conveys to them who he was. We sing in the hymn, don't we? None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Everything you'll need, poor soul, for time and for eternity, is found in him. And that fullness there is in him will never run dry. All earthly fullness is run dry, but not so in him. In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given to poor needy sinners. And may we be enabled to draw from that fullness in every time of need. So when troubles come, or whatever distress in providence or in grace, may the Lord favour us to enter into this third verse in Hebrews chapter 12. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Amen.
As you know, Mr. Field will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after this service, and all are welcome to stay in their seats and observe, but those who wish to leave are welcome to do so after the benediction. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address again by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 276. Elijah's example declares, whatever distress may betide, the saints may commit all their cares to him who will surely provide. When rain long withheld from the earth occasioned a famine of bread, the prophet, secured from the dearth by ravens, was constantly fed. Hymn 276.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. And oh, do give us that faith and grace to ever consider thee and all that thou didst endure. Be with us around thy table now. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.